Good morning and welcome to Brass Talk Sunday for the fourth day of February 2018 or 2018, as some would say. Now, today's Brass Stats, we are looking at the economy of Barbados in 2018 and where do we go from here. Joining me to discuss this issue is President of the Barbados Economic Society, Mr. Shane Lowe. Good morning and welcome to VOB, sir.
Good morning, Corey. Thanks for having me. Good morning, Barbados.
Thanks for being here. Now, also joining me in the studio, we have Mr. Asakori Beckles. He's a statistician, a unionist, and also someone who understands economic principles. So I welcome you back to the studio, Mr. Asakori Beckles.
Thank you, Corey.
Okay, joining me later in the program, he said he'd be running a little late, is Mr. Wayne Lovell. And he is a tourism and economic research intelligence and also a member of the Barbados Economic Society. Now, I think it's going to be interesting to hear from these two gentlemen, but also from Wayne, because Wayne usually contacts me during and after the programs to give lots of critiques, lots of very, very deep analytical critiques. So it'd be good to have him on the program while it's going on to see where we go from there. Expecting commentary on the line from Mr. Philip Odell. We're going to be contacting him a little later. He's a very deep analytical economic commentator as well. He calls in on the program from time to time, and he usually has some email blasts going out on economic matters. And of course, no stranger to you, Dr. Clyde Maskell. He'll be coming in later in the program to give his commentary on the Barbados economic positioning at this time. So, without any further ado, I want to turn to you, Shane, as the current president, right after we give credit to the sponsors and get your take on the Barbados economic position 2018 and where do we go from here. But all of this is made possible with the help from our friends at Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing. Big or small, at Williams Metals we have
it all. At Williams Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
President of the Economic Society of Barbados, Mr. Shane Lowe, what is your position on the Barbados economic position as we stand today?
Corey, I think there are a number of positives that came out of the report, but certainly some negatives. So I'll start with the positives first. Tourism continues to do quite well. I actually came back from overseas yesterday, and I don't remember ever seeing as many planes on the tarmac as I did yesterday, and that's certainly a positive. And cruise tourism continues to do well as well. So you're seeing much more people coming, and they are spending more. The deficit is falling, the fiscal deficit, down a third so far this year, another positive. So it suggests that some of government's measures are working. The challenge, though, is that we have a number of issues that continue to persist, and without greater action, will continue in the foreseeable future. So the reserves are the major concern, down to 6.6 weeks now, $410 million at the end of December. And that is not because we're not getting more tourist spending, not because you haven't seen a drop in imports to some extent, but because the government continues to have to pay debt out of its reserves. And that is something that will continue for the next, I'd say, 24 months at least. So it's not going to go away in the foreseeable future. The other challenge is that the economy, which has started to pick back up in terms of growth in 2016, has now slowed considerably. So the 1% the central bank quoted in 2017 is for the full year. But if you remember back in July or thereabouts, the central bank mentioned that economic growth was about 2.2% in the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. So if you do the math, that suggests that the economy did not grow at all in the last 6 months. And that, again, is something that's likely to persist over the next 12 months. So we have a slowing economy, which means that you're probably going to have a slowdown in tax receipts. We have reserves that continue to fall, primarily because the government cannot access funds to replace the funds it's having to repay. And we have a situation where we have much needed capital works that need to be undertaken. So part of the reason that the deficit fell by the magnitude it did in the first 9 months of the year was because the government cut capital expenditure. But we all know about the issues on the South Coast, and there's a number of other infrastructure issues that need to be dealt with, and those will require spending. So that is going to put pressure on the deficit as well going into 2018-19.
The question is, the other question I'll give you an opportunity to ask in the opening salvo is, where do we go from here? We've seen some of the light in terms of we had three constant years of modest growth. We've seen the deficit actually being tackled. But then there are lots of things on the negative side with the fall in reserves. It's not sustainable. The trajectory doesn't look nice. Where do we go from here?
Well, certainly the immediate challenge is to stabilize and reverse the trend in the reserves. Now, you can do that a number of ways. You either cut the outflows of foreign exchange, or you increase the inflows. The challenge of cutting the outflows at this time is that government has actually made some progress in dampening demand for imports. So you're actually seeing, if you exclude oil, which fluctuates primarily based on the price of oil, which we cannot control, you have seen a reduction in other retained imports. So there's not much more you can do there, or at least not to the magnitude that we need. On the outflow side, tourism is doing well, but notwithstanding the record arrivals, tourism receipts, so the spending by tourists, just increased 2% last year. And that's not going to close the gap. What you need is, in the short term, some kind of either private or public capital inflows. So the private inflows would be investment to build hotels and other, whether be buying real estate, etc. Or the public inflows would be if you go to borrow on the capital markets, or if you borrow from a multilateral agency like the Caribbean Development Bank, the IMF, etc. On the private side, the difficulty is that you need to improve the ease of doing business to attract that capital. On the public side, accessing capital on the international markets is going to be quite expensive. So if you wanted to borrow right now, as Barbados wanted to borrow right now on the international markets, you'd probably have to pay a price of 12%, just as a ballpark figure, which is clearly unsustainable. There are other options, and those options include the IMF and the CDB. Then borrowing could be about 2-4%, and could come, of course, with
some say those percentages again.
It could range single figures. So let's say 2-5% around there, depending on what you're getting the financing for.
Okay.
So
clearly, that's a far cry from 12%. Just saying. Go ahead.
Definitely, yeah. So I think in the short term, what we need is some inflows to come in to stabilize the reserves and give us time to build our capacity in tourism, build our capacity in other sectors that earn foreign exchange, and also to dampen demand for imports. Those things are not going to happen over a year. They might happen over 2-4 years, but you need to have the breathing room, which is what the capital inflows will provide in the short term.
All right, we're going to stick a pin there. So many things you would have raised there, and we have until quarter after one really to get through and kind of dissect all of these things. And I'll remind the guests, really, we're going to try to keep it that the majority of people listening will be able to understand. I think you did a very good job of that in your opening. Asakuri Beckles, do you agree, disagree, add, subtract, divide?
I mean, as Shane said, the economy, from what the central bank governor would have said, has its advantages and disadvantages. I mean, you've obviously had some level of growth, even if you want to call 1% growth. And he's predicting 0.5% growth going forward, which we will call almost stagnation again. So after the bouncing back that we had in 2016, we've now gone back to a position of stagnation. My issue is that the government has yet to implement a growth strategy. As workers, and I'm here representing NUPW, we would have expected by now we would have been seeing some growth in the economy and be able to get a salary increase. But I can tell you that if government continues to concentrate on debt, concentrate on consolidating the economy, concentrate on only looking at tourism as only sector in the economy that is really going to bring in any kind of foreign exchange, then they're failing to see the bigger picture. Because what is tourism? Tourism really brings in foreign exchange to tourists and other people coming in the country. But if you look at it, it is not pulling on the rest of the economy. It is weak. It doesn't have strong linkages to the other sectors of the economy. When Sandals got the big set of concessions, did you then not get a lot of duty-free concessions? Why wasn't it first targeted? And I said that back then. Why wasn't it first targeted that they have to buy local? Why aren't they buying furniture from Barbados? You know, if we know these projects are coming on, we should make sure that all these hotels are being built because they're boosting our economy through construction. They need to get their supplies from Barbados. I mean, I've seen the Agriculture Society try to make sure that they buy products from them, but they're obviously saying that they can't fully supply. But at the same time, we in Barbados have not, the government, I would say, have not concentrated enough on making sure the tourism economy, I mean, the tourism sector is pulling the rest of the economies. We then also forget that workers is a priority. And everybody talks about business, because in economists, we are trained to talk about business. But if you go back to the same diagram that we look at, it goes back down to the consumer. And who's the consumer? The consumer is the worker. If they don't buy, if they don't have money, they can't demand. If they can't demand, then where's you going to get the investment from? Unless you get all your investment from foreign investment, and where are you going to stimulate the economy? So hence, I am not surprised at 0.5% growth next year. I'm not surprised at 1% growth. And I will not be surprised if they revise the 0.5 to 0%. And this is not saying all is bad. This is saying that there is no clear direction I am hearing from the government. In the sense that we're saying foreign reserves are the issue. If foreign reserves are the issue, then why is there concessions to a company that's bringing in cement? Maybe have a local manufacturing company creating cement. If you want to, and I've said this before at your program, Corey, if you want to stimulate building of houses and building the economy, there are other things that goes into building that you don't have to worry that compete locally. Steel. There are other factors. I mean, we don't make wood in Barbados. So there are other things that you could have looked at to allow a company to bring concession wise to reduce the cost of the imports and the cost of building than cement. And I say that to say there is no serious or clear picture from the government. As a worker, I want to see growth. But at the same time, you have situations, you have a government that would say, we are tying growth to revenue collection of the government. Wait, revenue increasing $200 million, it increased $500 million before that. Oh, no, we're increasing it to inflation. Okay, inflation continued to increase. No, we're switching that. We're going to increase it based on the economy. Wait, the economy grow. When it grows, the ministers didn't get back the 10%. Wait, they get their other 10%. The economy grow, but what happened? We didn't get any money yet. So I am saying, when you don't give clear direction and you don't state things clearly, there will not be enough confidence in the economy. Business will not have confidence in the decisions and the word of the government, and the worker or the consumer will not have confidence in the economy. I've heard it said many times, but it's still the same thing. There's not enough confidence in the economy. There needs to be a clear campaign of buying local. So I am not just touting a salary increase for government workers. I am touting an increase for all workers. Because if you give workers a salary increase, look what happens. You create demand. Workers demand, it is local money. It only becomes an issue when that money goes back out the country through imports. But what we need to do is control those imports. So there need to be a campaign on buying local again. I remember a couple of years, there was a whole big campaign, 100% Beijing, buying Beijing. Why is that not going on? No. Why is that not
my,
going on?
My thing with that, and I think we got to be careful with that. I'll tell you why, right? I support it. I support it 100%. We started to get some flack over this whole globalization and WTO rules and so on, which don't make sense to me because America does it. People in Europe does it. We can do it too. They do it, so we can do it, right? Mm-hmm. But my thing with that is that a lot of things that we manufacture require on external things. We import to do a lot of things. So again, that would trouble the foreign reserves as according to what I'm hearing from the economy.
But,
so
yeah, yes, talk to me. But that's everything that we will produce. Mm-hmm. You got to come to some value added. There's a value added in creating the good. Even though you might bring the good and you bring the parts, there's a value added in creating yourself. Mm-hmm. If you got to buy that entire good, there's no value that you added. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you put into that. But any day, if you bring in parts and you create the final or the finished good, then at least you would have added a value and you would have reduced your overall import bill.
How I see it working is if we can use things that indigenous to Barbados as a primary niche market. We had it with the sea island cotton, the black belly sheep, the aloe vera. We hear about all these things for years. Where has it gone?
No, Corey, you're not disputing that. I agree with that totally. I agree with that totally. But we also have to be practical and look at what people use on an everyday basis. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at what people use, make substitutions for what they use, and then obviously the things that we can create niche products are, we do. Mm-hmm. But why is it coming from this platform? Why is it not seen as a clear picture or direction from a government? And if you have that, or if you have that, at least the community, the business community, or the union and worker community can see that. They can know what you're doing going forward. But what we're going to have is madness, in the sense that we have the same policy going on for the last 9 years. Things have not gotten better. And yet we are still following that same policy.
The definition of insanity.
I do not understand how, and I speak to my workers. I sat with shop stewards the other day. I sat with the general meetings multiple times, and I explained to them the economy. I explained to them how it affects our salaries and how it would affect our increase. And I tell them each and every time, given a worker's salary increase would not substantially impact our foreign reserves if it is that we promote as a union our workers to buy local. Yes, there'll be some aspect going on. I think there's a 50-60%. Some people might even say 65-70% of our of salary increases might go overseas in the sense of imports. We can get that reduced. As a union, we can promote to get that reduced. So I don't see that as an issue, which is why I would continue to say and say here today, let workers be a part of the solution. Do not say, people try to say it all the time, and I've heard the central bank, the past when governors say lay off 4,500 workers, and put them here. Lay off 4,500 workers. We laid off 3,000. What happened? Things got better? Nothing got better. You ended a whole situation with people, you had crime increasing, you had a whole heap of other social issues. So laying off workers do not solve anything. Now you have workers stressed out because their workers who are working with them are doing their job. Now they have to do 2 or 3 jobs. Now I'm not going to play politics here and say that there are some people that might be getting back in through the back door at some of these boards. I am not going to do that. Mm-hmm. By any day, my purpose is to make sure the workers who have been working all those years, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, who have mortgages, they get a salary increase. Do you think now a bank, a business will credit anything to a public worker who does not have permits? Even that before there was some level of thought.
All right, let me jump in here because I see you really come on this day today, but you're making any sport. Again, I'm gonna make a comment. Mm-hmm. I want to hear Shane on it first, and then I'll let you respond to both of us. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, my hobby, and I got some questions here for you, but my hobby horse really in relation to the buy local has always been for us to create the demand as opposed to manufacturing what people want. Because if this is what people want, people are already out there, already producing it at greater economies of scale where we cannot compete. So I'm thinking if we can do things like marketing. Like marketing, the fact that, you know, we have the limestone here and we have the best water in the world and those sort of things. We can use, I say that tongue in cheek, but I think that Barbados has been placed in some very fortunate positions that it can use its brand, its very strong international and global brand to market itself. But I want to come away from that. I want to stick a pin in tourism because we have to keep this discussion very focused because there's so many things happening at the same time. I'm gonna put a pause on the tourism discussion until Wayne Lovell arrives, seeing that he does a lot of tourism research and you do tourism statistics. So I think it would be a good discussion there. But I'm going to put this on the table. You are saying not only do we not fire workers, that we give them an increase, where we have the former governor of the central bank in his latest publications, the Barbados Economy Road to Prosperity, he is proposing that we send home 1,500 workers a year for 3 years to save the government over $270 million. And he has a whole proposal here. He proposed, and I read from the elements of the strategy, to give them a separation package for the public sector workers whose jobs will become redundant or who have volunteered for a package and will not be prohibitively expensive. A rough estimate of the cost of the package based on 2 years of annual salary amounts to $90 million a year for 1,500 workers. This will provide the average worker a lump sum of $60,000. So basically, one of the things I can see him proposing right away is for us to move from a overburdened public sector with too many workers to a position where you make these workers entrepreneurs by giving them a lump sum and a separation package and get them off of the nipples of government. Shane, what do you think of that position? And then we get a response from Asakori, and then that takes us we are past the time to get to the telephone lines.
All right, so I'll give a very economic response to that. I think labor should go where it's most productive, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a private sector, let's say a worker is working for $50,000 a year. if they in the private sector have access to the available capital and the technology, whether they're an entrepreneur or whether they're working in a bank or an insurance company or a manufacturer, and they can be as productive as their capacity allows them to be and generate as much growth as possible, they should go there. If, however, they can go to the public sector, earn the same salary, and be even more productive, then they should go there. So I think the numbers are always interesting to think about. How many people would you have to send home to save X amount? I don't want to look at it from just a pure accounting perspective, but where can you get the most bang for your buck? Now, the thing about it is that, if I remember the Dr. World strategy as well, it speaks to having a balanced current account, having a balance on the current account, the fiscal current account, meaning that you want that your tax revenues are able to match the current expenditure. So what you're spending every year as a government. Now, the challenge is that if you don't have that, if you have a deficit, if you have to borrow every month to pay this government worker, next month you have to borrow that amount again because the worker is still there plus the interest. And then the month after that, you have to borrow that amount plus the interest squared. So you can see that this becomes an exponential function. So instead of $50,000 a year, after 10 years, you could very well be borrowing $100,000 just to pay this one worker. So, in response to your question, at the end of the day, the person needs to be where they can be most productive. And if the public sector is not that place, then you either need to provide them with the capital or technology that they can do better. So make things easier to do in the public sector so that they can make a greater contribution. But if they're not making that contribution, then I think the private sector is probably the best place for them, if you assume the private sector is more productive than the public.
Corey.
It's a strong assumption as well. But.
Let me first answer the question. The Honorable Gentleman, the past governor of the Central Bank, did the economy boom when he was governor?
What relevance does that hold right now? Because remember, he can advise the government, but they have to carry out the policy. So just explain the right.
But he also
question.
Came up many times and said everything is working according to plan, isn't didn't he? So if he promoted, encouraged, accepted, and marketed what the policies that the government took place as his own and part of what he was doing, then he's part of it, part and parcel of it. So if that policy and those policies were not working, why am I going to listen to him now? I am not going to listen to the Honorable Gentleman, the past governor of the Central Bank, right? Because his policies were not working before and they're not working now. And the same thing why I'm not going to listen to similar people, right?
But if you forget the personality for a moment and look at the issue or the proposal.
So let's deal with the issue now.
Let's deal with the proposal.
Let's deal with the issue now. That was just me putting him where he belongs.
Right.
The next thing is, where are you going to get all that money from? If they can't get the money to even give the workers a salary increase, which the Prime Minister and everybody's saying the workers deserve, because those same workers in the private sector got 2-3% salary increases every year since 2009, 2010. So private sector workers are getting their increase. Public sector workers got nothing. Good. Tell me which private sector worker. Hold on, Corey.
You asked the questions I was going to ask. He said go to the IMF for it, but I don't want to misquote him. So looking for the page.
You find that page first, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So the next thing is, who will provide these services that the workers are providing? Did he mention that? Because it sounds like pie in the sky. So if he lay off 1,500 workers and then overall hit 4,500 workers, I know those workers are working now providing services to people of Barbados. So who is going to provide those services? Is he promoting then those services to be sold to the private sector? And what the private sector can do? Charge. I think private sector charging, then that means the government could add fees onto these same goods now. So that means additional taxes on everybody, including the worker, including every single citizen. So be it sanitation, be it anything else, that is like saying to you, why even pay taxes? I am paying taxes for those government workers to give me free services, not those government workers to go home and then I go pay the same taxes and then pay for those services too.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say is that, so remember I mentioned if you borrow every month to pay the person and you borrow to pay, you have to borrow the second month to pay the person and the interest. And it means that for a government to prevent that, the government would then have to need to charge taxes. So whether it is in the private sector or in the public sector, somebody has to pay. The issue is who does it more productively? Who can do it at the least cost, with the best quality, and ensure that it contributes the most to the growth of the economy and to the social welfare of the citizens? So I'm not too concerned with who's doing what. because ultimately somebody has to pay, whether it is through taxes or through fees charged by a private institution.
I am going to promise Barbados this and VOB this. We were actually supposed to have Dr. World here today, but he unfortunately is on his way to Carnival. You know, he doesn't miss Carnival, nor Cropover, nor for their morning. But I'm going to try to get Asakori Beckles and Dr. World in here. So y'all, because I do not want to speak for him. So I think that it'd be good to y'all to face some of that. But that's a very important topic, because I'm gonna finish with this and give you opportunity to respond, because I know you're gonna want to respond. The idea though is that the public service is inflated by over 10,000 workers, and what they're doing, look in the papers last week, playing solitaire. So they're not services that would need to be cut. It's just, as Shane said, putting them where they become more efficient. So do we need people playing solitaire? Are they just using that to pull your chair?
That's okay. Any be it private or public work, private sector institution, you're going to have workers who are not as productive. Mm. But that is for management to deal with. Mm. There are good, great workers out there, like myself, who go to work even longer hours than I'm supposed to and don't get paid for. So I am not going to take no broad brush painted across all public servants, because you got some of the same things going on in the private sector. Mm-hmm. I blame it on the management, be it the management of that institution. So if you are a policymaker and you realize there's an institution that have unproductive workers, then what are you supposed to do? Blame the worker or blame the person who's managing your
management? Management.
So then if you have an entire public service that you are seeing is being unproductive, why you again blaming on the worker? Why you not blaming on the persons who manage the entire public service? So we are clearly again and again misplacing the blame here. No, the blame is on the management. And if you have an underperforming economy year after year for 9 years, if you have workers who have not received a salary increase year after year, who are you supposed to blame? Not the worker for working every day and for giving the hard work to the people of Barbados. Not the business people who have been trying to operate and produce business. You got to blame the government.
Talking about blame.
One second, Corey. Right. But we also missed a point here, right? There needs to be a stimulation economy. There needs to be a stimulation economy, without a doubt. That stimulation can happen to industries, and we talked about it time and time again. Renewable energy was one of our biggest foreign reserves. Our biggest spending on imports. Fuel. If fuel is our biggest spend on imports, 1, 2, and 3, right? Why is it that we have not taken serious action in making sure that energy efficient vehicles or electric vehicles and photovoltaic panels are so incentivized for people to bring in that it is almost no cost?
I want Barbadians to note that down, though. Renewable energy as a key to faster growth. Put that down. Note that down. Especially as some people are going to be coming around to your houses knocking. And I don't want a disconnect between what we are discussing here and what is going on in terms of where do we go from here. Where do we go from here relies a lot, unfortunately, because I think it should be a collective effort of all Barbadians. But where do we go from here depends a lot on the people who will be knocking on your door all night. No. So one of the things I want you to talk to them about is their position on renewable energy. Now, you talked a lot about blame just now, Asakori. So I want to ask Shane this question. The exogenous factors and the shocks, because government have been talking a lot about a global recession, which is really an international recession. Where do those shocks affect Barbados? Because the government have been saying that the external market continue to affect us. Where are we feeling those effects? Where are those effects coming from?
Yeah, so those effects are mostly felt through tourism, because you can imagine that a person sitting down in London or in New York or Toronto is going to have to plan their vacation. And if they're unemployed, they're not picking up and leaving their home and spending the amount of money they need to come to Barbados to spend. And after 2009, with the global recession, you saw a sharp rise in unemployment in those main markets, Canada, the US, and UK. And persons didn't come as often as they did. Now, having said that, unemployment now has gotten to about pre-crisis levels in some of those markets, particularly the US. You also have fuel prices. Now, back in 2014, fuel prices were quite high, about $100 a barrel. They went down to about $20, $30 a barrel in 2015, 16, have now started to rise again to about $70. So those are the major two shocks. The thing about it, though, is all about how you manage these shocks. Remember, the Caribbean as a whole has been affected by these shocks, some more than others. So if you take a country like Jamaica, Jamaica was obviously affected by the slowdown in tourism, but they seem to have been not affected as much. Bahamas is still struggling to some extent with that as well.
So that is affecting the spend of the tourists and not necessarily arrivals, because we've had record arrivals.
Yeah, it is affecting the spend. So if you look at the central bank's report, it'll say that average length of stay was down about 5.6%. So the average person that comes to Barbados is spending less and less time than they were before. And obviously, if you're spending less time in a hotel, it means you're going to spend less money in the hotel. But there are other countries in the Caribbean that are actually doing quite well, that are growing at very quick paces. So if you look at St. Kitts, for example, St. Kitts has grown about 3, 4, 5% over the last 4 or 5 years through, well, a citizenship by investment program that involves people, you know, purchasing citizenship in exchange for investment. You have Jamaica has been growing quite slowly, but they're doing a lot better now. So their exchange rate appreciated 2.7% last year, compared to, you know, the year before that. So it's not all doom and gloom in the Caribbean. A lot of it is down to the choices that you make, the policy choices, and what you decide is, you know, optimal for your economy.
I agree with Shane though, Corey. In that, since when the NDPW sent our proposal in January 2016, we mentioned as part of our negotiation, the reason why we asked for that is that at any day, you had a situation where other governments, like the same St. Lucia you just mentioned, and others, they gave their workers a salary increase, which actually stimulated their economy. They did a level of promotion, which is to, I don't want to say buy local, but they asked workers to do certain things, right? What we have in Barbados is a situation where if our people that govern us, they don't expect those shocks, then they can't manage when the shocks occur. And when the shocks come, you should know, well, look, I have A, B plan, I have A, B, C, D plan if those things happen, which is simple. But it doesn't seem to be very simple, because we know since, I guess, the last government was in power in 2007, 2008, that it was coming. Because we know that the Americans and the English started to go through that recessionary period. We know that the whole bubble was burst, had burst. And we know it was coming. We knew it was coming. So we knew it was coming. Yet the government did nothing, or did little, I should say, maybe this government did little to adjust for that. As a result, we had year after year of recession. But yet other countries did what was necessary to adjust, and yet we still blame those same countries like US and UK and our source markets. US and UK came out of recession, since 2013, 2014? Yeah. I actually listened to the president of the United States at his address, and I actually fact checked a few of his things, which is that they have some of the lowest unemployment now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he went on to say black unemployment and what's not, but they motivated their economy, they stimulated their manufacturing side of the economy, cars and what's not. We did not stimulate any parts of our economy. Well, we did some concessions for the tourism sector back then, but I think we did not, Barbados did not in 2008, 9, 10, and since then, adjusted to the shocks that we were expecting. Right now, we are doing the same thing again, you know, because we know as economists, that the economy will receive shocks from fuel. If we haven't received big ones yet, we will again, because we know that this $70 barrel will not sustain us for very long. We know you'll probably get back up to the same $100, and I think Jeremy Stevens spoke about it and others spoke about it. So if you know this is coming, why are we not preparing ourselves for it? And I'm hearing excuses. Guys sat down at the table across ministers, and I've heard the same reason. Even in our negotiations, the NEPW has brought one of our proposals to be electric vehicles for our officers, right? Duty-free electric vehicles, because we obviously propose things for our members, especially for the travel officers who travel every day. That reduces the fuel import bill for them and the cost of their having to carry out their duties. The government side rejected that offer, has tried to reject that offer many times. We continue to push that offer, and just we want to push it even further from just our workers to the economy. The reason why is that shock in reduction of fuel would save off our reserve. But you know what the government was worrying about? the loss of revenue from the excise tax and those other taxes. You know what? Which is more important? Is it the local excise tax, which is local currency, or is it foreign currency that you're trying to save? So that's what I'm saying. There's no clear picture. Are you trying to save foreign currency, or are you trying to
get, I think, revenue? The problem there really is the lack of adequate studies, economic studies, and studies to show them, okay, you lose here, but you gain there, and this is the net.
No, Corey, that's surplus. Not true. No, Corey, there are many studies.
Those studies are there presented.
I spoke to lecturers at University of West Indies who have written papers on this before. And I heard a guy keep calling from UE the other day on the brass tacks, and he made these statements. He said that they have actually had symposiums and workshops.
So then why would the government be concerned about losing excise taxes if it can be shown clearly that you may lose a 2% on the excise and you gain a 5% on savings on oil prices?
Ask them, Corey.
Well, I will get the opportunity to do so when they come a knocking. Brass Stack Sunday, 23 minutes before noon. We go to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome to our first caller. You are on the air. Hey, good morning. Callers, we are coming to you, so get close to your telephones. This is Brass Stack Sunday. Good morning. You are on the air.
Well, I will get the opportunity to do so when they come a knocking. Brass Stack Sunday.
Who's that nice young sounding funny? Good morning and welcome. You are on the air.
Hello, am I on the air?
You're definitely on the air.
Well, I would like to say good morning to you, gentlemen. I listen very carefully to your discussion, and one person touched on something I think is very important, the management of our affairs. You can make many decisions that would impact on almost anything you do, and I think this is at the core of our present problems. There was enough advice out there that action could have been taken in a timely fashion. But unfortunately, decisions otherwise were taken, which would have led, in my opinion, to the problems we now have. If I can go on, though, in specifics, we had a reliance and still have this over-reliance on a single, very fickle sector, that is tourism. We're not servicing tourism properly because look at our infrastructure, it's falling apart. And we're just ignoring and saying, well, it will probably go away by itself. Then we have, as a result of decisions that were taken, which put us in a difficult position, we had several downgrades. These would have impacted on our economy and our prospects for the future. Along with that, there were several instances of wastage, blatant wastage. We had, for example, the litigation that seemed to have taken over this country. Ever so often, a decision is made, and the government is getting sued. All that is money that's going down the drain. Then we had the building spree. There were buildings put up all over the place. There were the little huts for the majority population of our country, which just to my mind, well, I don't want to say what I would say about that. Anyhow, then we had the bigger structures. Some of these were financed in very, very strange ways. And almost in every case, you can see the same people getting the contracts to do this type of thing. Then we had the debacle there down on Paradise Beach. You all know what it's about. That we don't know exactly what is going to be the final outcome of that. But we do know that much of our money, which we can do with now, was thrown into that. Then we have, I am told recently, this is what I heard, maybe you can correct me, that the per visitor charge at the port is being collected by a private sector body, which is telling me that the management is so inefficient that they can't just collect that money, which is a simple thing, in my opinion. Then we have a policy not of going to the IMF, not of devaluing our currency, but keeping the civil service at the same level, or the public service, whatever you want to call it. And to do that, you had to find money. That is, you simply use mechanisms which are tantamount to printing money. I know it was not the same as I knew happened in Brazil, because I used to go there quite often in the good old days when money was actually run through the printing presses.
I want to interject here because we want to have a pithy type back and forth for this particular show, because we got a lot of WhatsApps and calls backed up already. But I want to ask you an important question. Now, we've been talking about the ZR culture for about 30 years, and we've been unable to put the reins on that horse, right? We've also been talking about diversifying the Barbados economy for about the same time or longer. Which one do you feel is easier
to do? Deal with the ZR culture?
And if we cannot do that, how are we going to divest and diversify and all of these things? That is my fear listening to you.
Well, I began this, Mr. Corey, if you heard me correctly, I said management is at the core of not all of our trouble. So therefore, if you have a problem with the ZR, we created that because we gave those licenses to the people, and you can take them back if you so wish, if you don't like the way the people are behaving. But then, if you are going to say to a ZR owner, you can only charge $2, and the ZR owner realizes that he has to hustle and do all types of crazy things to keep his...
No, I understand the issues, you know, but I want you to look at the greater point. It has to do with management. So let's get down to brass tacks. We need better management.
Yes, exactly.
How do we get better management?
I began by stating this, and I hope that you heard me very correctly.
No, I missed it.
Because, yes, I began by stating that the core of our problems was management. I began this.
Right, I understand that. But, you know, what focus I'm in today, where do we go from here? We can list the litany of woes from now till the station goes off here, probably at midnight, 1 o'clock, whatever, right? What I'm saying is, let's get to the crux of the matter. I agree with you. We need better management. Now, the next point now is not to go back to the history, it's to go forward. How do we get that better management?
Well, first thing, I'm going to say this. I don't want anyone to take my head off, because I am not hitting at any particular political organization. We must not keep this country in suspense in the face of this crisis. We need to get back to the polls, and if the people think that we have the current people doing a good job, let them be so put back there so they can manage the job they have a mandate. If the people have made a mistake, then the people will pay the price for it. But at least we should have that opportunity, and the longer we move away from that, for whatever reason, we are going to have this state where nothing or very little gets done. So that if this is an urgent matter that we need to address our economy, that, to my mind, is a priority.
All right. Thank you very much. No, I don't like to summarize callers, but what I'm hearing is, it's not that you're asking for the removal, you're asking for an election, because we are at a precarious stage at a precarious time. Our economy is in a precarious position, and we're in a precarious time. I think we need hard decisions. Can hard decisions be made on the eve of an election? The political answer to that is no. It's almost impossible. Let's take some WhatsApp so we go back to the line. I'm going to just read them and y'all could respond as y'all see fit. Okay. If spend was up, our foreign reserves would show it. Corey, the guy is totally misguided on tourism. Spend is 20 to 40% down. Arrivals are up, but a lot of what is due to home porting. Sandals has ruined our tourism product. Between them and Airbnb, a large percentage of arrivals go to that sector, and the money stays in overseas accounts. This one says, my good friend Asakori is confusing me. He wants to maintain staff, yet he wants an increase in wages when we are not generating foreign exchange. Two different issues.
Yeah, two different.
Good morning. Just my two cents, full stop. When we have so much empty land in our country, why do we have such empty land in our country with such a high import food bill? Why can't the government make it mandatory for all lands to be worked? Either the owner do so, or we have the very large potential workforce in Dawes to work this land. Imagine if we had all this land being worked, how much we would have in terms of imports.
Corey, before you go further, I want to answer that question about the agriculture land. All right, I'm a big proponent of agriculture and using our land wisely. I think one of the things that we are lacking is enough research or enough public notice of what research have been done about the use of our land. Let me give an example. We export, not sure if you know, breadfruits in a significant quantity. Mm-hmm. Well, significant for a small island state. Mm-hmm. But let's say it has been found that Canada is a big importer of breadfruits and wants more breadfruits. Why isn't it a Barbados government, which have done the research, made sure that the economy or the market is there, comes to the people of Barbados and say, look, all those who have land that can be used, we are asking you to grow, we need 1 ton of breadfruits, and we will help you with the technical knowledge, which is to start up the business, which is to make sure you have labeling, and the weights and the process have been completed.
Gregory, I can warn you now. Uh-huh. You are going to be accused of wanting perfection and utopia. Because when I talk to you in this chair, they tell me that, no, from my first day here, I said it, but governments, both sides, on all sides, according to Mr. Trump, they do the same thing. They want revenue. What is easier? To have to try and work and get the tractors fixed and get the lawn land plow, or to put on a suit and tie and go into parliament and raise taxes? Which one is easier? Rolling up your sleeves and work? And that is the issue. And that is why this is not a talk shop. This Sunday, this is about the issues and put down the agriculture issue for the people that come in and knocking. Because ask all of them. Because, and there's enough of them that come in. Because many.
If you are a Caribbean person living in England, I lived in England for a little bit. I lived in Philadelphia for a little bit. If you live overseas, you want some of what your home country brings. Breadfruit is one of the most healthiest starches, I mean, as far as a complex starch is concerned. At the end of the day, if you find, you do the research, you find that you have agriculture products that you can produce in Barbados, why aren't you promoting that to the people who own land and tell them, all right, you can do, if you got sugarcane, you know what my economist said it earlier, we use the resources and we make sure to put the people behind those necessary resources that you need. Why aren't we doing that? That is why I come back to management. There are avenues out there, there are industries out there that we can promote and build. Why aren't we doing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shane, go on.
Yeah.
Shane,
yeah, go on. Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the first WhatsApp mentioned that spend is down. So let me just try to use as many facts as possible when I.
You're on target because I want to hear your blog asking you to tell them where you get the.
No problem. So if you go to table 3 of the Central Bank's report, all right? If you look at the line, the third line called travel. So that's basically what you earn from tourism. In 2012, we had 20.2 weeks of imports, which is a fairly comfortable position to be in. Travel earned us 1.86 billion Barbados dollars. If you fast forward 5 years to 2017, we have 6.6 weeks. So almost half of where we were, much more than that down than where we were in 2012. But we're earning $2.1 billion in travel receipts. So we're earning a lot more foreign exchange in tourism. If you look at fuel imports, which is further down, in 2012, $1.1 billion we spent. We're spending in 2017, $623 million. The challenge is not with exports and imports, you know. If you add all the imports up and add all the exports up, we actually earned a bit more in exports of goods and services last year than we did spend in imports of goods and services. The challenge is, primarily, at least, over the last 5 or so years, this item that says financial account. So in 2012, in terms of financing, whether it be foreign investment or public capital inflows, we brought in a net figure of $313 million. In 2017, $84 million. And if you go to the public line, you can see that for the last 3 years, there's a negative number, which means that instead of bringing in capital, instead of the government being able to borrow international markets, they've actually had to be repaying foreign debt. A lot of that is the Credit Suisse loan that we took out in 2013. And you can see in 2013, the public number was quite large at $194 million. So our challenge is not that tourism isn't doing well or that imports aren't down because demand is constrained or fuel imports aren't down because fuel prices are lower. Our challenge is that our credit rating has gone to a point where we have to repay debt out of reserves and we cannot borrow to replace the debt we're repaying.
There was a debate that those downgrades didn't really have any effect on us. What was your take on that?
Yeah,
economically, not politically speaking.
I have to disagree there. It's not just the downgrades, but it's not just the rating itself, it's the trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, Barbados is now the yield, or if Barbados has debt out there now that has an interest rate of 7%, when it was first issued. Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to buy some of that debt now, they would demand about 12.5% based on the latest mm-hmm. numbers I saw, the mm-hmm. yield. Let's compare that to Jamaica. In 2017, last year, Jamaica had some bonds, some debt that it issued to the market, existing debt, and it said, okay, we're going to allow people to buy more. Jamaica issued that debt at 5%, okay? Now, Jamaica's credit rating is not significantly better than ours, but it certainly has improved over the last few years. And part of that is because it's met many of the targets it said it would meet under its IMF program, and it has regained credibility, and that's a very important word there, in the international financial markets. So you have a Jamaica born at 5, us potentially born in double digits. And it's related to the credit rating, yes, but not just the level of the credit rating, but the trajectory of the credit rating.
Sure. Right, Corey, I want to respond to what Shane said. He is right that we have an increase in our intake of from travel, right? But one of the things you have to know is per visitor. As much as it doesn't have per visitor here, we have a record tourism, you know, inflow now, correct? Mm-hmm. If you have a record tourism inflow in 2011, which is 1.9, and 2016, which is 2, or if you want to call it 2.1, if you are coming up, then that doesn't show any kind of record number there.
Yeah, and actually in 2008, we earned 2.4, so we're earning less now than we were.
Right, before. So because mm-hmm. in essence, what I was saying is that you have more people coming in, but they're spending mm-hmm. per visitor less. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're making more money, which is what Shane said. They're making mm-hmm. more money for the visitors, but they're not individually spending more. You know why? Because our tourism product is cheaper. It has changed. Before, Barbados was an exclusive kind of destination. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, you had the Sandy Lane, you had the Westmoreland, you had all those high-end places that people came to Barbados as one of the best places. As you said, the brand was different then than it is now. Now is about accessibility. Anybody who can come to Barbados, come, and you come for the cheapest price possible. So you have a different customer now. That customer might not, if they want to stay at Sandals, they get all-inclusive. They don't have to go around and spend the money in the local economy, which would have stirred the economy like how it did before. The taxi men that would have gotten the jobs, they don't need them because the people want to spend less. So you know what? They're going to go to the tour companies, which can give them a per unit cost less. And you're going to have less thing. You're going to have more packages because you have to capture. You have to reduce your prices to be in that package if you have a business. And that's why you're not going to find the economy booming as much. And that's why I said the linkages in tourism need to be increased. They need to be deepened. Because after 9 years, you're trying to tell me you had to change your tourism product. I have no problem with it because it's getting increase in revenue. But you realize you change your product. You have to therefore change what goes behind it then. You need to make sure that the linkages that tourism did not have before, because it stood within itself strong enough, it has to have now. In that, you got the linkages in the manufacturing, where the furniture and the other things that are going to build the hotel. Not just the one-off building of the hotel, because the one-off building hotel will stimulate the economy. But then after that hotel has been built, it will go back down. You need to have sustained increases. Then you need to have the agriculture sector need to producing these hotels. And that's why I say, you know what? When people come to Barbados, they come to Barbados to eat the same thing they eat when it was in US, UK, and Canada. No, they come to eat Beijing. They come to drink the same kind of cocktails and stuff they had when they were in US and UK. No, they come to drink Barbadian alcohol. When they come to Lyme, they come to Lyme and see American and UK things. No, they come to see local things. So where is the locals in the hotel? Where is the local entities in the hotel? Thank you.
There's something important I want to read on that. But before I do that, there's one here. Smile at this one. Says, Charlie Austin said 30,000 breadfruit trees is what he was proposing ever since. There was one I pulled off of Facebook from a Peter King Broom. I think he's one of the head technicians at Barbados Water Authority. Also wanted working on the South Coast sewage plant and its issues. And it's pretty long, but I think it speaks to a lot that we've talked about this morning. And I want to get your response on that before I go back to the telephone lines. Remember, you can give us a call 434-1790 or send your WhatsApps to 266-4862. And easy to remember, 266-IVOB. It says, we in Barbados have got to understand that Barbados became a leader among small nations due to the fact that almost all of its businesses were locally owned. We had a sugar industry maintained locally by our foundry. We had the same in the tourism industry. We also consumed a lot of what we produced. Our consumption was locally supported by the varying industries. We even had a company like Intel in Barbados in the early days. IBS was added as well. We had the capacity to support our expenditure. The whole economy has changed. Our businesses are now foreign owned and managed. The sugar industry is decimated. We consume now almost all externally manufactured goods, and we have the greater expenditure related to health, education, transport, etc. The PM has stated clearly his vision, and it is for the economy to grow, it has to be stabilized. The private sector has got to stop relying on foreign-led consumption and re-establish a locally led and managed business sector that expands throughout the Caribbean. We need new leadership as it relates to the development of new industries like cybersecurity, coding, investments, robotics, and industries of the future. We would attract different and more relevant industries to our shores. Our people need to understand that shopping and stores can be virtual. Our way of doing business is archaic and outdated. Those who are seeking government are talking about the same old things they talked about for years, and it bears no significance to the future industries. Restructuring this economy will be difficult and painful. It cannot be done by consensus. People are not clear on where the world and the new industries of the future are trending. Response, gentlemen.
Well, I think I'd support anything that suggests we should export more to the rest of the world. Not just export more, but invest in the rest of the world. So we speak a lot about, and I think the current situation where we have reserves falling all the time, I think one of the things you want to do is to bring capital, bring foreign capital to ensure that, you know, you can stabilize the reserves. But I think from a longer term perspective, you have to also realize that if you bring in capital, you have to not only repay the capital, but you have to repay the interest and the dividends on the capital. And that becomes a future drain on reserves. So when the reserve situation does improve, certainly I'd like to see more investment in the rest of the Caribbean, the rest of the world. We always speak about Trinidad owning much of what used to be locally owned. But those dividends, if they go back to Trinidad, that's a foreign exchange earner for Trinidad. Now, they probably don't need it in the same way because they have oil and gas, etc. But, you know, why can't we get to a position where our earnings are foreign exchange and not just persons coming to spend money on tourism or rum, but dividends from a local entrepreneur that is earning from a company he set up in the U.S. or in St. Kitts or Cayman, or interest from investment.